gathered here today over the loss of our original episode 48, Anyone But You.
Yes.
I was devastated. Rip. I was devastated, guys. So last week, we recorded an entire episode. I got like two-thirds of the way through editing, and it was just so late at night. And I was like, I can't stay awake any longer. So I was like, I'm going to tap out. I'll finish it in the morning. I'll get up early. And my laptop decided to update, which caused the file basically to crash. And I did not save it onto the laptop because this has never happened. My laptop is never updated. So I was like, why all of a sudden? Why now? We lost the episode, Anyone But You, and it was such a fun episode because we both loved the movie.
Yes.
And it was so good.
It was a fun movie. It was a fun movie to talk about, and we had some really interesting conversations, and we're just so sad that it's lost.
And also just how much time I spent editing and then like recording and editing, and I was just like, you're kidding me. Mm-hmm. So maybe, just maybe, we'll have to do a lost episode month and just rewatch and talk about all the episodes that we've started or attempted to do and have either lost or abandoned. But I want to talk about our date night because it was sort of like a date day. And we saw Challengers, obviously, and I was going to go back to the movie theater to see another movie. But I was like, I'd rather hang out with you. So we went around town and we went out to lunch. Immediately watched the tennis match.
Yeah, there's a tennis match on. And Kyle, so one thing you guys need to know about Kyle is whenever we go to a sports event or try something new, Kyle's like, am I obsessed with this now?
This is me now. This is my whole personality for the next 2 months.
When we went to the Sea Dogs game, Kyle was looking up season tickets.
Yep. I was like, I want to come back here every day. And then you wrote me in and you were like, that's 62 games.
You're like,
and
you know,
also, you're not going to want to go on like a Tuesday after work. Right. And I was like, you're not wrong.
Kyle's not someone that does anything after work.
No.
He comes home. He does not. If I try to plan something for after work, it is a no-go for him.
Unless it's on a Friday night, it's not happening for
me. So I'm like, you do realize in order for that to be worth it, like you'd have to go to like all the games, so like weeknights too.
And when you said, you were like, all the games, and I was like, yeah, you said all. I don't like that word. I don't want to go to all the games. But to make it worth it, you would have to go to all the games. So,
and then
nix that.
While we were traveling, I brought Kyle to his first NHL hockey game.
Yep.
And Kyle had always, because I played hockey growing up, and anytime I tried to get Kyle to like watch a hockey game with me or do anything pertaining to hockey, he was like, I don't like hockey.
I was just never like around it. You know, my dad didn't like hockey. My mom didn't like hockey. So it was like, I just don't pay attention to it.
But I took him to an NHL game. And then he bought the NHL video game.
Yeah.
He wanted to really get into hockey.
Yeah.
Well,
they beat the shit out of each other on skates.
Yes.
It's basically MMA on skates.
Yep. And then when we just watched Challengers, Kyle's like, am I a tennis fan?
Am I a tennis girly now? But, okay, in my defense, we were tennis girlies last year.
We did.
For the entirety of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
From, like, I'm going to say, when did we get there? Probably, like, June-ish?
No.
No, when we started playing tennis. Not when we got to Virginia, but when we started playing
probably
tennis.
Probably April.
So, April until when did we leave? Like,
July.
Yeah, July. So, for those months, because we had a tennis court basically in our backyard, it was like, let's just play the fuck out of some tennis. We became tennis girlies. And then this movie came out, we watched it, and I was like, kind of want to play tennis again.
Yes.
Kind of want to watch and get into tennis.
Yes.
But then I watched, because they had the highlights on at the bar, at the restaurant we were at yesterday, and I was like, yeah, I don't give a shit about tennis. I was like, I don't care about tennis at all. I really don't.
I think I want to watch tennis, but I do like playing tennis.
I like playing tennis, yeah. I would play tennis with you, no interest to watch it. Just none whatsoever. I watched a few whatever matches, I guess, when we were at the restaurant, and I was like, nah.
Maybe I could try some more because it was very, I feel like it could be interesting.
I want the drama.
I watch those people watching tennis matches and watching their heads go back and forth.
Right.
And back and forth. And I'm like,
The only reason I'd ever go to a tennis match is if it's like a big one, and that's only because of all the celebrities that are there, though. Like Timothy Chalamet goes all the time. I want to go see him. You know what I mean?
I'll go to Wimbledon.
I'd be sitting turned around facing Timothy Chalamet until he looked at me. I wouldn't be watching tennis.
Yeah.
This always happens. This always happens to me where you're like, I just want to run to the bookstore real quick, and I'm like, I'm not getting anything. And then I had to spend $300. Or, like we did yesterday, we went to the greenhouse place and you wanted a plant and a pot to put it in. And I was like, I don't care about that. I'll go with you, and I'll look around with you, but I don't want anything. I bought a monkey head pot, and it's like a smiling chimp, and so I had to get a plant to go in it that looked like hair, so I bought a succulent, put that in there, so now it looks like it has hair. And I was like, how does this happen every single time we go out where I'm like, I'm not spending any money, and then I drop like $50. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want anything, and then I get there, I'm like, I want this, 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 this.
But it was funny because we were looking at all the succulents, and we kind of wanted one that resembled, like, Kyle's hair. Mm. Like, curly hair. And so we found a succulent that I think was pretty close.
It is, yeah.
And we were looking at it, and one of the workers there comes over, and he goes, that's actually a really rare one. He's like, we only got about 2 dozen of those in, and that's the last one we have. It's super unique. And so then, of course, me and Kyle are like, well, then we need to get it. Like, what a salesman. I'm like, if this is
what a sales pitch, like, exactly.
What a tactic. Because me and Kyle are like, unique, must have it
right.
To put in the monkey pot.
Meanwhile, he's out back, like, sorting through the 500 they can't get rid of.
Could you imagine if we went up to them and were like, what plant do you have that looks the most like curly hair?
Yeah. I'd be like, get out. Please get out. Just leave. I'm not dealing with this. We close in 10 minutes. We're go like, away.
See his hair? We want the monkey's hair to match.
Yeah. Oh, man. But it was a good time. I thought it was a fun. It was kind of a dreary day. So it's like you didn't really want to do anything outside because it could open up at any moment. And so, you know, going to a greenhouse was fun. And doing that post a movie like this was definitely interesting.
This was the first movie that I could not get Kyle to stop talking about.
Yeah, that was bad.
We usually, when we leave a movie that we're going to do on the podcast, we will not speak of it until
the only thing we ever say is, it's like, okay, real, like, you know, just baseline, how'd you feel? Mm-hmm. Like, we never discuss it. It's like, how'd you feel? And you're like, good. And I'm like, cool, mm-hmm. sweet, me too. And then we, you know, move on from there. I could not stop talking about this movie. And at one point, Cass was like, you have to shut up.
Yeah.
You have to shut up. You're telling me all of these things that we can discuss on the podcast. And I literally was like, verbal diarrhea. I was like, I can't stop. Right. It's just coming out, baby.
And we don't like to discuss it before because we like when it's like super like fresh and natural in the podcast. Like everything we're talking about is like our first time we're talking about it together. Because then it's like fun for each other too. So I was just like, just stop talking. I don't want to know anymore about your feelings on this movie or what you think. We're going to cover it literally tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. We were going to cover it last night, but we just ran out of time during the night. And it was like, fuck it. We'll do it Thursday. Whatever. But because we went to the theater, folks, we watched some trailers.
Mm.
And we have 3 new ones to play the trailer game with.
It was Channing Tatum Fest.
Wait. Hi.
Hey.
Tashi Duncan.
She's gonna turn a whole family into millionaires. She'll have a fashion line, a foundation.
You were incredible today.
Thank you.
I mean, it wasn't even like tennis. It was an entirely different game.
Hey, come hang out with us later.
Want me to come tuck you in?
No, let me just keep talking.
As you said, this is Channing Tatum's, like, month. I don't know if they're all, I don't even remember when they're coming out. Wasn't paying too close attention, to be honest with you. And for some reason, I never see Channing Tatum. This is probably on me, but every time I see Channing Tatum, I'm like, I can zone out so hard to this and still understand what's happening. I don't think there's a lot of Channing Tatum movies that I can think of off the top of my head where it's like, I have to hyper-focus, even on the trailer, to get what's going on. It's just, it's Channing Tatum. You know what I mean? I don't know what that is about him. It's probably because, you know, the 21 Jump Street shit and his role in This Is the End. It's just like he's a funny guy.
Magic Mike.
And Magic Mike. Nothing too serious except for, you know, the first and third Magic Mike. The only Magic Mike that's not serious is honestly the second one.
Mm.
Oh, that's a whole different podcast. We talked about that. Go listen to that. So it was Channing Tatum month. And so we have 2 Channing Tatum movies. The first one is, I'm assuming, a horror type movie, a horror thriller. And it is called Blink Twice. And a really unique concept for Channing Tatum. Because it kind of reminded me of Infinity Pool, but it's just an odd fit for him. So I'm very excited to see how this works out. Because horror thrillers aren't a genre you see with him much.
Right, me too. No, I'm excited to see him kind of expanding his repertoire. And honestly, if Channing Tatum's in it, I'm going to watch it.
Also a horror thriller, like I'm already seated. I bought my tickets. I don't even know when it comes out and I bought my tickets, all right?
So he's seeing it for the genre and I'm seeing it for Channing Tatum.
Yeah. And there were a few other recognizable actors and actresses that I can't name now. off the top of my head, but I know what they look like, and they're recognizable. That's the worst thing is, like, you're so good with names and faces, and I only am good with faces. You'll see someone and know immediately their name. I see someone and I know they're from. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? You're so good at naming people's names, and I'm like, why do I not know who the fuck that is? It's killing me. And then you'll be like, it's so-and-so. And I'm like, damn it, you're right. Mm-hmm. The next Channing Tatum movie we have is also starring Scarlett Johansson. And it is Fly Me to the Moon.
Channing Tatum, ScarJo.
Yeah, you're going to watch it, exactly, yeah.
Yes, there's no questions asked.
Yeah, say
less. I don't even care what it's about. I'd watch them do an infomercial together.
The Joey infomercial where he can't spike the milk container. Yeah. You watch them do that for hours.
Yes, no, exactly. Like, you see, like, those two people together in a film, amazing.
Yeah.
Of course I'm watching it.
Yeah, I was going to say I'll be there, but I really might wait until this is on, like, streaming.
Really?
Yeah. I love ScarJo to death, and I really like Channing Tatum. I don't really want to pay to watch this thing, though.
Interesting. I thought you'd like the concept of them being like, we're going to fake film the movie.
Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know, it's literally they film a backup plan, which is that they're going to the moon. And Scarlett Johansson's character suggests they film a backup plan in case they don't make it to the moon. And that is to fake the moon landing. So the movie's about that.
Because it
is an interesting concept.
They have to make it to the moon before Russia.
Yeah. And if they don't, they're like, fuck it, film it. We'll just make it up as we go.
Right.
So I think it's an interesting concept. I don't know how it's going to play out, so I am eager to see how... I'm more interested in how it plays out than I actually am if it's a good film or not.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how they make that land with audiences.
Yeah.
And the last one we got stars Austin Butler and one of the best actors, I think, Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is called The Bike Riders. And I have a lot of things I want to ask you about this movie, so we'll probably be watching this movie when it comes out. I want to hear your thoughts first before I say mine.
So it seems like a common theme in these trailers, but Austin Butler as a bad boy biker must watch.
Stop, bro.
I ain't ever seen him look so fine.
I like Austin Butler. I would definitely defend him against people who hate him when they're like, oh, he can't drop the Elvis voice and all that shit. But it's hard, man. He's so corny. When I see him in the bar and they're like, hey, take that jacket off, big guy. And he's like, you're gonna get to kill me. I'm well, like, oh, fine, here we fucking go.
He didn't choose that line.
No, he's I know. But it's the delivery of the line. And it's for some reason, it's his face and the way he says things. And I'm like, I like you. I also can't stand you for some reason, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's gorgeous, and he's a gorgeous man.
I love him.
But I also like Colin Farrell, and he's a gorgeous man. And I like Channing Tatum, and he's a gorgeous man. I don't want to punch them. I want to punch Austin Butler. And I don't know why, because I'm
shocked you said that after Dune 2.
See, I really liked him in that. But again, I think what it is to me is that everything
He's very much shown his acting chops.
For me, I think it's that he overacts in everything. And it's like, you're doing so well, reel it back, though, just a touch. Mm. Which also is a director's thing, like, hey, you gotta rein in your guys. Like in Dune Part 2, when, I don't remember if you remember this, but Vladimir Harkonnen, the Baron, kisses him.
Yeah.
It's not scripted, but Austin Butler grabs his head and pulls him in for a second kiss.
Yeah.
Fine, it works. Also, what are you doing, though? Like, what are you doing, though?
He's feeling it.
It's just like, I don't know, it's just, I think sometimes he gets a little too into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that's what bothers me is I want to be like, you don't have to go that hard.
Full throttle, baby.
Full throttle. Shut up. I can't stand you. Oh my God. All right. But that's it for trailers because I love the theater down the street. They only play 3 trailers per movie. It's fantastic. Let's get into what we're doing and why we are doing it.
Why are you doing this to us?
Because you were home.
Ultimately, this ended up being my pick because, unfortunately, Cass's pick was Anyone But You. Because I lost the audio, I really wanted to watch a movie that she was also on board with watching. I didn't want to make her watch anything she didn't want to. And I actually said I was going to see Challengers without you. I was like, I'm going to go watch Challengers. And you said, oh, I want to go watch that with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, perfect. This can be the makeup episode for Anyone But You, since we both agree that we want to watch this. And that's sort of how it came to be. Just born out of that and just the fact that, like, I didn't know you wanted to see this. So I was really excited when you said you did want to see it. Mm. And I was like, okay, sweet. Like, this is a pretty highbrow movie that I didn't think you even knew about. And I'm not saying that to be like, that sounds so cinephile, fucking pretentious bullshit. But it doesn't seem like a movie that you'd be like so gung-ho about. Like, the trailers didn't make it seem super interesting. And when you said you're into it, I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, let's fucking go. Let's do it. So that's why I picked it.
I feel like I pick a lot of movies because of the main character.
Yeah, like the main actor.
Like this, I was like, I know it's about tennis, and I've heard that it's very...
sexy.
Sessy. but Zendaya is in it.
Yeah. Is that the reason you wanted to watch it? Because Zendaya, like, your girl was in it, you're like, I gotta support her.
Zendaya was in it, I heard that it was good, and I'd heard that it was making people feel certain types of ways.
Yeah. We'll get into that, actually. I do want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Because that bleeds into, like, the hype. So, before we jump into our actual topics, you guys reached out and a bunch of times and have said, you know, hey, talk about the characters and the plot, because sometimes you just dive right in, which is true. And we've been trying to do better about that. So we have introduced a new segment in which we real quick dive into just the main characters, quickly summarize who they are as a person so you kind of have an idea going in, and summarizing the plot. So that is going to be a segment moving forward. And we're going to jump over to that now for the very first time.
People call me the Bry Man. I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is James Westfall, and my right one is Dr. Kenneth Noisewater. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Back booth there at Charlie Lancers every Friday night. Champ here, I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase, whammy, as in Gene Tennis at the plate, and whammy!
I'm Rick Tamblyn. People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks.
Would you care to read us the synopsis for Challengers?
I would love to.
I have a very strong suspicion. I've never read the synopsis for this, but I assume it's very vague and doesn't give you the plot of what the movie actually is.
Mm. Her game... her rules.
Let's rate that tagline. What do you think? I think that's a perfect tagline after watching the movie. It's fucking perfect. It's great.
Tennis is her game.
Tennis is her game. Home wrecking is her game.
Tennis player turned coach Tashi has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she signs him up for a challenger event close to the lowest level of pro tournament, where he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend.
Honestly, actually...
it's kind of vague, though.
Did a really good job summarizing what it is.
It summarizes the main storyline.
Mm. There's not the intensity.
But it misses the subplots that almost become more important than this, than the main plot.
Like what? What would you think that, like, what would you... I'm eager to hear, like, what would you say is, like, a subplot that you think takes over?
The love triangle.
Yeah, I agree. Did it not say that there was a love triangle, or is it just... oh, it just said that he faces him.
Yeah.
You're right. You're 100% right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, because that is... the movie's not about them playing tennis against each other. It's the match going on outside of the actual match.
Right, and I understand, like, the whole movie they're talking about, like, they're always talking about tennis, and so you feel like...
but yes, are they, though?
The main point of this movie that they're trying to make it seem like is, like, their entire lives are tennis, and it's a tennis match that you're watching. But throughout this, they're showing the match of life that they're playing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's 100% true.
That they are playing a game, but that game is not tennis. They're just covering it with tennis.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like they're just masking their personal lives with tennis. Mm-hmm. And even when they're talking to each other, and one of my favorite scenes is when Pat tells Art in the sauna, and he goes, so I mean nothing. And he's like, yeah, you mean nothing to tennis and blah, 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 blah. And Patrick looks at him so dead serious. And the look in Josh O'Connor's eyes is painful. And he's like, I'm not talking about tennis.
Yeah.
And Art goes, I have nothing to talk to you. I have nothing other than tennis to talk to you about.
I think the issue is Art and Patrick, at first, they really do treat tennis like a game.
Yeah.
And then Toshi comes into their lives, and to Toshi, tennis is life.
Tennis is life.
She doesn't she doesn't wake up in the morning, she doesn't go to bed, she doesn't take a shower, she doesn't do anything without thinking about tennis and more in like leading up to tennis.
Yes.
Like everything is tennis for her.
And that's perfect. Let's dive into Toshi real quick. I want to keep this segment really tight and short just because we have a lot to get into. But Toshi Duncan, played by Zendaya.
Yes.
Do you want to give us a brief rundown of who she is as a person?
Sure. Toshi Donaldson. Did you say Duncan? I think it changed.
Her name is Duncan, and then she gets married to Pat. Her name becomes Donaldson,
So Toshi is an amazing tennis player. That career was ended way too soon.
Yeah.
She was like a prodigy.
Yeah, she was going to go pro at 18.
She could have gone pro at 18. She wanted to get an education while she was in college. She got a knee injury that never healed right.
Mm-hmm.
And all of her dreams went out the window. Toshi is a very goal-oriented person. And she's had one plan her entire life. And that plan got messed up. So she married someone to continue that plan.
Yeah.
And that's all she thinks about. Tennis. Her life is tennis. Everything she's done in her life, who she's married, is for tennis.
I like that you said that. Who she's married is for tennis.
Yes.
Because I completely and 100% agree with that. And I think that's why she has such a strong attraction to Patrick. Because as much as he loves tennis, it isn't about tennis for him.
Right.
And I think that's why she loves him, or, you know, wants to physically be with him at least.
Right. And with Art, I think, so when Toshi and Pat broke up, it was because Pat said he wasn't in her fan club.
Yeah. He's like, if you want a fan, go be with Art.
Right.
He's like, I don't want to talk about fucking tennis with you.
And that's what Toshi wanted. She wanted a fan that she could literally
lead by the nose. She wanted to be able to hold him by the nose and drag him around.
And he would do, and she knew that Art would do absolutely anything for her and be completely malleable and manipulated by her. And she needed someone to be her biggest fan.
And she married him.
She married her biggest fan.
So let's dive into Art now, her husband.
Yes.
Did you want to talk about Art?
Sure. So Art also grew up playing tennis. Kind of took it a little bit less seriously than Toshi, but I would say
as less serious as you can take being a professional tennis player. Like wants to be pro, but isn't his every waking moment is not obsessed with tennis. He's more obsessed with her than he is tennis.
Right. Which I do think his involvement and obsession with tennis becomes more about his obsession with her than it actually is with tennis.
Yes.
But Art, he's a sweet guy.
For the most part, let's not get too high on him. He has a lot of shitty things happen to him, but he also he forces them to break up, essentially. He won't stop talking shit about Pat to her. And she even calls him out on
because
that.
Because I think he truly doesn't want her to get hurt by Pat.
I think he loves her a lot.
And he knows Pat's history. And knows that that's a massive chance.
Yeah, especially during the churro scene when they're eating churros at the college diner.
Yeah.
Pat even says, it is what it is. You know, we're hanging out, we're having fun. And Art's like, she's not a hang out, have fun kind of girl. You marry her, you know what I mean?
Right. So I think you kind of have to explain Art and Pat together.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's explain them both. Because they are literally inseparable.
Yeah, they're best friends. Literally have been in boarding school since they were like 10 years old.
12 is when they met. They started boarding, living together at 12.
So 12 years old, they have been inseparable. Closer than most best friends.
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
And you have like Pat, who is just like the wild child, carefree, early developer. And you have Art, who is a little bit more...
He's more reserved.
He's, I would say, a late bloomer.
Yeah.
And so their entire life growing up, Pat has had to show Art a lot of things.
Yeah. I think it's perfectly summed up in the scene where they're in the bedroom, the three of them. And Art is asking her questions about tennis. And Patrick's like, you know, just a horn dog. And he's like, so which one of us do you want to kiss? Can we get your number? So anytime Art says one thing, hey, on this match point, I want to talk to you. And Pat dives in and he's like, do you smoke cigarettes? You want to smoke with me?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I don't smoke cigarettes. And so she turns back to Art. But Pat is just like so nonchalant and I don't give a fuck. And Art is the complete opposite of that.
Right.
He gives a fuck. So, he cares way too much about everything he does.
Right. So with Pat, he loves playing tennis, but tennis is not his entire life.
Right.
I think it was that way with Art, but when he met Tashi, tennis became his entire life because tennis was Tashi's entire life.
And Tashi's literally living vicariously through him after her injury.
And Art was honestly, like, he was Tashi's biggest fan. He was obsessed with her. And so it kind of turned into an unhealthy relationship because he'd do anything to keep her.
Yeah.
Even and if we find that unhappy. Out. And even if he knows that she may be being unfaithful.
Right. So let's real quickly talk about that. The whole movie, basically, Art is being cheated on.
Yeah.
Tashi is hooking up with Pat.
But we
almost
do
against
know-
her will. Not against her will. I shouldn't say that. She wants to. But she's just so, she hates him so much, but she can't keep her hands off
right.
of him.
We do have to note that Pat and Tashi date first.
Yes, they do date first.
And I truly think, I think Tashi likes Pat because he is the escape from tennis that she rarely gets.
Yep.
He's fun. He excites her. Art is safe.
Absolutely.
Art is that safe option. And I think Tashi calculates her life so much that that's why she ends up choosing Art, because she knows that that's the safe choice. It's going to give her the image that she wants to get all these brand deals.
Yep.
And Pat's not going to give her that because Pat is unexpected. He's going to say things he shouldn't say. He's
you
not
can't control
coachable.
Him.
He's not coachable. Tashi wanted to be his coach. He is not coachable. Art is.
Yeah.
I think what Tashi really wanted after she got injured was someone she could coach to all, so she could still become famous in a way.
Yep.
And she knew Pat wasn't going to be that person. And while she's still really, I would say, I don't even know if she, I can't even, I don't even know if I can say love, because I don't know if she loved either of them.
I don't think she loved Art, that's for sure. I think she loved what Art could do and was very manipulative and calculated in that.
Yes.
I think, I don't think she, you know, I don't think she loved Pat. I think she just physically could not keep her hands off the guy.
I think she lusted Pat.
It was more of a chemistry thing.
Right. Like, it when she was with him, it was exciting. It was the only time that she probably didn't think about tennis.
Yeah.
And so it was like a mental, as much as a physical
Absolutely.
Relief,
yeah.
release for her. But it turns into this love triangle,
yep.
which ends up being really, really sad because Art and Pat were inseparable. And you hear, so Pat has a girlfriend before he starts dating Tashi, which Art's saying she's not really his girlfriend. And she says she doesn't want to be a homewrecker. And you think that she's talking about Pat and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But you come to find out that she's talking about Pat
Art
and Art.
Yeah.
Because Pat and Art, their relationship is so close that at many points throughout this movie, it almost crosses a line into...
I want to save your thoughts on this for later. Okay. I do want to dive into this. I do want to dive into this. This is very interesting. But I want to kind of bridge that with the finale talk because okay. I think that is so important. And I do want to get there. But I want to save your thoughts on that. Let's just jump right over and talk. Now start talking about challengers because we've met the characters. We know the plot. Let's just do the damn thing.
So there are two guys and they're on horseback and they're looking for something. So maybe they're scouting.
No. No. Where's the horizon?
The horizon?
Where is it?
Yeah, it's at the bottom.
That's right. Walk over to this painting. Well?
Right, okay, so there are five cowboys, you know...
No. Where's the goddamn horizon?
It's there.
Where?
At the top of the painting.
All right, get over here. Now remember this. When the horizon's at the bottom, it's interesting. When the horizon's at the top, it's interesting. When the horizon's in the middle, it's boring as shit.
So I wasn't trying to cut you off. I'm so sorry if it came across like I was cutting you off. But I want to save that because I have a lot of thoughts on that. And I want to build our way up to that. The first thing that I have written down in my notes is the way this is told, the storytelling. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get your thoughts and how you felt watching it go from the present where we're watching it, all the way to 13 years ago, and then forward like 10 years, and then back 12 years. This movie's very jumpy. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a tennis match. The timeline jumps from one end to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And you sort of get these things dropped on you as you go, because we start in the present. We start with Art and Pat, basically, mm-hmm. in their match. And we go backwards in time, then forward, then backwards. And then finally we land back on present day. Mm-hmm. How'd that work for you? You like that? You like that style?
I did actually really like it for this movie. It does, however, make it a movie that you very much have to watch very closely, because if you miss, like, 12 years earlier, five years earlier, you're going to get very confused.
I had a gripe with that, because it is quick. Yeah. It's not, like, held on the screen for, like, 10 seconds. It's like, flash, here you go, we're 13 years prior to this. Mm-hmm. Boom, it's on the screen for like 2 seconds. So if you're not, like, if you blink, you might miss it. And so I think you're right. Like, you really do need to pay attention, because you could absolutely get lost watching this movie, because it jumps mm-hmm. around so much.
Well, when the movie first starts, you feel incredibly lost. You're like, what is...
it drops you right into
it. Like, what is going on? Because it does. It drops you right into the current situation they're going through. And then I really do love how it keeps flashing back to build upon why this yeah. situation is the way that it is.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I thought it was excellent storytelling, and that is very hard to pull off. I watched a couple movies recently that do the same thing, and I think it takes a really experienced director. We're talking about Luca Guadagnino here, people. Like, the guy knows how to make a fucking story. He knows how to craft it. He knows how to unveil it. And I think he does it at the exact right moments. And you kind of get the sense, I think one of my favorite moments is you realize Tashi is so heinous towards Pat. Heinous. And you think it's because during her incident, when she hurt herself, her and Pat had broken up right before, like maybe an hour or two right before that. And not even, like maybe an hour before that. Mm. And so you think that's the reason she's mad at him. And she's just heinous towards him. And you're like, this is a little much. I get it, but a little much. And then you keep flashing backwards. And then you keep getting these hints that something else might have happened between these two. And then finally, you flash into a flashback where they're like, where Pat tells Tashi, hey, does he know about Atlanta? And then we flash back another 5 years to Atlanta, mm-hmm. and they unveil that story, but not quite. They stop just short, and then they flash forward to present day, and then back. And I think it was the perfect sort of, let's keep it related to tennis, it's the perfect volley back and forth.
Right. And that's what honestly gives it that really tense feeling, is the flashing back and forth, because you're like, they show you this really intense scene, and then it flashes away, and you're like, wait, what happened? Mm-hmm. And so then the way it evolves is like you get this really tense scene, and then it flashes to the current match, and you get the tenseness between them, and you're like, what happened? Like, something must have happened to make this tense. Right. And then it will flash back and show you that. And it's just a really exciting way to film this movie. It makes it really tense. Like, you're playing a game.
That's one thing I did love is that a lot of people compared this to, this is not my verbiage. This is the verbiage that a lot of people talking about this movie have used. And it was called an edge fest. They just build you, they keep building you up to this huge climax and then immediately switch topics and not bring you to the climax until much later.
Yeah.
And so they'll flash back to like to a scene twice and you'll get the second half of the scene much later down the road. You know what I mean? So it's like this huge buildup and you're like, here we go, here we go, here we go. And then it just stops and it switches to something else and you're like, wow, okay. But I think that was done excellently. And I think to prove that, we get the scene where Tashi's pretty hammered in a bar of the hotel that they're staying at. This is during Atlanta. And she hears that the girl, I don't know if you caught this, but Anna Mueller, the one that she beat the night she met Pat and Art, won a Grand Slam championship. And she is sitting there fuming because in the background, in the audio, the guy, the commentator says, Anna Mueller has been unstoppable these last few years. Nobody on earth has been able to touch her. Meanwhile, Zendaya's character beat her in straights. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, demolished her when they were 18. So she's really, really, really at her lowest point. And Pat happens to walk by because he's staying in Atlanta for the tournament as well. And they make eye contact. And then there's a lot of this buildup to something crazy happening, but you know what's going to happen, but they don't show you because they flash forward again. And then they flash backwards like an hour later. Mm-hmm. And you see it from Art's perspective. We didn't know Art was watching the situation unfold. He sees them sitting in the bar together, turns around to sign a hat for a fan, turns back around, and they're gone.
Right, but you did see them kiss.
You saw them kiss, yeah. But you saw them kiss for sure, but you didn't see, I think them leaving, it is more of the gut punch.
Yeah.
And so he turns around and sees them leaving, and he is just destroyed. And I think the way that is told and unveiled and unraveled, you know it's coming, but you're waiting for the shoe to drop to where you actually see it happen. And so it sits in your gut, and you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I can go back there and watch that. And the reason I know it worked for us is because we both audibly gasped when he turns back around and sees they're gone. We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming. But when we see it, it was a whole different feeling. My stomach dropped. I turned and looked at you. Your jaw was open. It was on the floor. Mine was on the floor. We both gasped. We both looked at each other and we were like, we knew it was coming, yet it still worked on us. And that's right. How you can tell this storytelling is working. It is a perfect volley back and forth, back and forth.
Also, very risky of her to be someone as well known as she is and to kiss someone that's not her husband in an open.
In a hotel where a lot of the tennis players are staying, where people recognize them, as we've already noticed, because Art is signing autographs mm-hmm. at that hotel. Like, literally mm-hmm. 3 seconds before he catches them cheating. So I think it's incredibly ballsy of her she's got some brass balls to be doing shit like that.
Right.
That actually kind of leads me to the next thing I want to talk about. Which, these people are all scumbags. But it's done in a way that you don't really hate them.
Can I be honest?
Yeah, tell me, what's up?
I disagree with you.
You don't think that any of them are scumbags?
I don't think Art's a scumbag.
I think of the three of them, I absolutely think Art is the least of the scumbaggy. I think how he gets with Tashi is a little dirty. Hold on, let me finish. Just real quick. It's a little dirty. I don't think he explicitly does anything that is crossing the line of a scumbag. He's not cheating on anyone. He's not taking steroids. In fact, he doesn't even want to keep playing tennis. He's only doing it for Tashi.
Right.
So I don't think he's a scumbag, but I think the other two characters are scumbags, but they're done in a way where you don't absolutely despise them, like in Talk to Me. Like, I hated the characters in Talk to Me. I didn't necessarily hate these people.
Right. But I honestly felt bad for Art through this entire movie because at first he is kind of in the shadows of Pat. He can't beat Pat in a match. He's in his shadows.
Which they actually do say, yeah, you're right. He literally says, you've never beaten me solo.
Then they meet Tashi, and they both really like Tashi, and Pat is kind of he should be unavailable,
yeah,
because he has a girl that he's been talking to. So Tashi should rightly go to Art
if she doesn't want to be homewrecker.
But Pat should back down. He knows that Art likes her too,
right? And he has a thing.
And he doesn't. He gets the backhand of the backhand of, I don't know, the situation. And so I honestly am proud of him when they go away to college and he starts kind of manipulating a little, because I feel like Pat has manipulated him.
Oh yeah, they're definitely, because even Pat says, he's like, it's kind of hot for me that you like my girlfriend.
Right.
He's like, I think it's hot that you want her.
It makes her even hotter that you like her.
Right. He was into it. He was like, yeah, I want you to want her. And he even tells me, he's like, I'm proud of you for what you're doing. Like, I'm proud of you for kind of like steering her out of my direction.
Right.
It's fucked up. So
the first half of his life being manipulated by Pat and being in Pat's shadows. And then he spends the second half of his life being manipulated by Tashi.
Yeah.
And doing everything in his life for her, and she has the audacity to cheat on him ex-best friend.
And still manipulate him. Like, full-on manipulate him.
Like, he's living his every aspect, everything he eats, everything he does, is for Tashi.
Yeah.
Because as, like, you can tell throughout the movie, he started losing a lot, and it's because he just doesn't care to play tennis anymore. Mm-hmm. The only reason he's doing it is for her. He wants to be done.
He wants to be with his daughter. He wants to stay at home with his daughter. He wants to eat hamburgers. Life. He wants to relax. He wants to rest. So I agree with you that I don't necessarily think he's a scumbag. I do think what he did was dirty. But I do think the other two are scumbags.
Right.
Pat is absolutely a scumbag. Tashi is absolutely the biggest scumbag out of all of them.
I do think the one thing he did when he was talking about Pat to Tashi to get them to break up, that was his one thing he did. It was one time he got Tashi, and then it was kind of, he from there on, it was just living his life for her.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Pat and Tashi are screwing him over for years.
Yeah. Decades.
Decades. And poor Art, like,
knows it's happening.
he knows it's happening. But he just wants to be with Tashi. He wants a life with her. But he didn't think that into their late 30s. Is it late 30s? Is
he no, 31? He's actually... Early 30s? I was going to say he's 31 when he's talking about retiring. He didn't
think that. So he's already done what he's become pro in tennis. He has all the brand deals. They're rich. They have the life that he wanted. And it's not enough for her. And that's what he thought. He's like, I thought like by having this success, doing this, that eventually tennis would get out of her system and we could actually live a life together. And unfortunately, that's not what she wants. It's not what's happening for her. So now they have a kid that is constantly being taken care of by other people. Mm-hmm. And even though Art has done everything, has become a Grand Slam winner, has become pro, they have all these brand deals, they're rich, they've made it. It's not enough for Tashi. It will never be enough for Tashi.
Because she doesn't want to stop playing tennis.
Because her life is tennis. And I feel bad for him because now he's at the point where, like, I thought eventually we could just be a normal family.
Even after he says he wants to retire. So the reason I think she's the biggest scumbag is because even after he says, I don't want you to get mad at me, but I want to retire soon. And she's like, that's up to you. I'm just your coach. Mm-hmm. Like, do whatever you want. It's not up to me. She is so enraged with him that she sneaks out and offers to basically fuck Patrick for him to throw the match. So he gains his confidence back. So he wants to keep playing tennis. Like, that's what we're talking about here. It's not, she doesn't respect him one iota. Every single thing that that he does is orchestrated by her, for her. And it is the most self-centered scumbag behavior I've ever seen in a movie. And yet I still don't hate her as much as I should. I do dislike her, but I feel bad that she has to vicariously live through him.
Right.
That's her own issue. She got to go to therapy, girl. Like, you got to stop playing tennis and go to therapy and figure your shit out.
I think I do feel bad for her because you just know, like...
That was supposed to be her. Was
ripped from her.
Yes.
It was ripped away from her. And this should have been her. And she lived her entire life with everyone telling her she's a prodigy. She's going to go pro. She's the best tennis player they've ever seen. And then it's ripped away.
Yeah.
So quickly. And it's a lot of, like, Art apparently had an injury that he recovered well from.
Yeah.
And she's jealous because they both had injuries and he came back from it.
Right.
And she didn't.
Which is alluded to. We never see the injury. But like you said, they say, I would have killed to have the injury recovery you had.
Which I think I did notice he had scars on his shoulder. Yeah, he had
scars on his shoulder. So definitely some sort of surgery there. I think he hit someone's elbow as well.
But
I think I noticed some scars there too.
You do feel bad for her because you just know that she was so young when her dream was taken from her. And it was a dream that she'd worked for her entire life.
And she could have gone pro right then.
Gone.
And she chose not to, and that's what led to her injury. And so she's kind of kicking herself. But I still think, like, go to therapy, talk to someone, figure your shit out, and do not manipulate your husband. You shouldn't even be with this guy, quite honestly.
Right.
I also think Patrick is such an asshole 90% of this thing.
He is.
But there's one moment that is so vulnerable that breaks my heart for Patrick. And it's a scene in the sauna I already talked about. He's like, I mean nothing. And, you know, Art's like, tennis. You mean nothing to tennis. You're a nobody. I'll be a legend forever. And he's like, I'm not talking about tennis. His whole thing through the whole movie is like, I'm not talking about tennis. Listen to me.
Do you think that, so, after Pat and Tashi break up and Tashi ends up with Art, and Art stops talking to Pat. I honestly think Pat is more upset that he lost his best friend than the fact that he doesn't have Tashi anymore.
100%.
And I truly think that the reason because Pat, Art just stops talking to Pat. Like,
cuts him out of his life completely. Cannot
get a single conversation from Art, a single word from him. He doesn't talk to him anymore.
He had to corner him and ambush him in the sauna just to have that one 30-second conversation.
Right. Do you think Pat is hooking up with Tashi to get Art so mad that he will have a conversation with him?
Yes,
even
I think
even if it's a fight, he just wants to talk to his best friend again.
Any reaction is a good reaction. He wants something from him.
He just wants to pull some sort of human reaction out of him because he knows that Tashi's been manipulating his life.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. He even tells him. He tells her when they're in the alleyway and he's like, I want you to coach me. Mm-hmm. He straight up tells Tashi, listen, you've been orchestrating this life. He doesn't even want it. You don't love him. You hate him. And I mean, I think he's doing that also to hurt her. I think he's hooking up with her specifically to hurt her because he knows she hates him. but cannot physically resist him. And I think so he's doing it not only to fuck with Art and get him to, you know, kind of get emotional and talk to him, but also to fuck with her. Like, this whole triangle is so messed up. And again, like all movies, this could have been solved if they had had an adult conversation.
Right. I feel like he's honestly doing this to try and hope that Art will leave Tashi so then Art can actually live the life he wants to
live. I also think he truly loved Art. I think he loves him.
Yeah.
I think Pat loves him. As a friend and as someone he would spend his life with. Not even in like... And we know he's bisexual. Pat is bisexual because we see him on Tinder and he's got guys and girls on there. But I do think he genuinely loves Art on that level. And that's why he's so hurt that Art would do something like that and just completely cut him out of his life. And it's like, I mean nothing to you. And that scene shatters me because it's not coming from a space of professionalism. It's not coming from a space of like, will they remember me? It's coming from, why aren't you my friend anymore? Why don't you love me?
Right.
Because we've loved each other for 10 years before we met this woman. And we're just throwing everything away for that.
Right.
And Pat won't even, or Art won't even give him the time of day. And it shatters me.
And even when Pat found out that Art was kind of talking shit about him to Tashi, he was like, props?
Yeah, he was like, I love it, man. I love seeing you fired up over something like this. He says that.
Seeing him fight for what he wants.
Yeah, he's like, you go get her if you want her. And it's like, that's your girlfriend that you're talking about. But he doesn't care.
Right.
He loves seeing his friend like that. We should also mention that they did kind of almost have a threesome. And Zendaya's character, Tashi, gets them to make out at one point. And then is like, all right, see ya. I'm going home. And so there is that dynamic too, where I think that just kind of proves the love triangle. Like, he is in love with Art. Mm-hmm. And I think seeing Art happy or fired up or passionate about anything makes him happy, even if it is about his girlfriend.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Do you think Pat has feelings for Tashi? Like, actual feelings?
I think he did. I think he did in the beginning, and then it was more of a spiteful... And I mean, even when they get done having sex the day before the final, when she says, I want you to throw the match, he says to her, you were so beautiful when you played. I loved watching you play. All in the past tense. I think he was having sex with her to try to get back at Art and break her heart and sort of revisit those days when he truly did like her. But I don't think he does now. Because he wouldn't do half the shit he's doing if he did, quite honestly.
I think truly he wants Art to leave Tashi so him and Art can just be best friends again.
Yeah. He want her to be his coach.
Back. He doesn't care about Tashi. He literally just wants his best friend back. Even if they're like, even though you do get kind of hints here and there that they could be more than best friends.
Yeah.
Even if they're just platonic soulmates, like, he just wants his brother back.
Right. And the reason we keep saying like platonic and maybe not like completely in love is because during the movie, they never explicitly...
There's sexual tension between...
There's sexual tension. And I even said to you after the movie, I was like, they need to just fuck. They just need to go at it. And you were like, yeah, I agree. But they don't ever explicitly say Art feels that way about Pat. Where it's definitely more indicated that Art is willing, more than willing, to do something like that.
Pat,
yeah. But Art is not.
Yeah.
So, and it's not that he's not. It's not that we're given a sign that he really would. So I do think that that's an interesting concept. I do think that's an interesting concept because we keep saying platonic and all that shit. And that's why. So the last thing I really want to talk about is, let's get into it, the finale. And how I think it is the perfect ending to this movie. A lot of people were upset at the ending of this movie because it just ends. But I think if you watch it beginning to fucking end, you will realize that it's the perfect way to end this movie. So we kind of touched on it earlier, but the ending here, I think, is immaculate. It is built, it's the final 25 minutes and half of it's in slow motion and it's beautifully done because we, not only do we get just this like intense montage of them playing some of the best tennis you'll ever see, we get the perspective, like we go into their POV where we are literally their body. And we also get the POV of the ball going back and forth and just how that added such intensity to the moment. Mm-hmm. And Zendaya's character, the entire movie, not a single tennis match goes by where she is watching the ball go back and forth. She just stares dead ahead and that is it. During this moment, she is bouncing her head back and forth watching these men go to town, right? And that is a direct callback to the first scene where we see Tashi Duncan play. because she is so into it. And the guys are going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. They can't believe what they're watching. And then when Tashi finally wins, she screams, come on, let's go. And she's like losing her shit. Mm-hmm. And she tells them in that bedroom when they're about to have the threesome, she's like, I just want a good fucking game of tennis.
Right.
That's what I want. And because they're like, what do you want from us? Because
she tells them whichever wins gets her number. Right. Because she knows that they're gonna play real hard.
Exactly. And I think that continues over to the finale here, where she basically has sex with Pat. She's like, throw the match. But she's married to Art. And when Pat first hooks up with Tashi, he doesn't want to tell Art. He's like, I don't want to kiss and tell. And so he tells him, do my serve if you hooked up with her. Because they have two very distinctly different serves. And so to get under his skin, we flash forward to the final match. It's the final tie-breaking point. And he does Art's right. serve.
But you're watching Pat. He gets a time
violation.
Because you see him looking at Art, looking at Tashi.
Trying to figure out what he should do, right?
Trying to figure out if this is the time to lay it all on the line.
And he fucking does. If he doesn't and fucking he does. Do it, man, so he does, man.
He does Art's serve, which tells Art.
Which I think was the funniest scene in the whole movie, quite honestly, because Art just stands there, lets the ball go by him, and goes, and it's silent for like 5 seconds, and everyone's like, what just happened? And Art goes, fuck you, and turns around, and you're just like, oh my god, no. Yeah. Because he can't believe what he was just told. And then he looks over at Zendaya, and Zendaya's like, what the fuck is happening?
Right.
What the fuck
She's
is happening?
So
she doesn't
what's
know.
Going on.
And so then they play the most intense volley of tennis.
Yes.
And you see Zendaya, she's so into it. And she hasn't been able to play tennis, mind you, since she was 18. She's like 30-something. And she's watching them play. And it comes to the final climactic moment where this is it. Someone's going to win. And the ball lands. We don't really see what happens with it. And she just stands up and screams, come on, let's go. Exactly how she did when she won her championship right. at 18. And it is I have goosebumps because it is the perfect buildup to that moment, and it explodes at you and refuses to give you a resolution as to what happened, because it doesn't fucking matter what happens. The outcome doesn't matter because Zendaya just wanted to watch a good tennis right. match her whole life. That's it. And she fucking orchestrated it.
Right. But also, before she screams, you see Art, he leaps up to hit a ball. And
yeah, because Pat dinked it over the line.
Falling over the top of the net, and Pat catches him, and yep. they embrace, even though Art knows that Pat just told him that he fucked his wife. They finally realize that, like, that their relationship is what mattered.
Yeah.
And Tashi was, I think they realized that Tashi was playing them.
Yeah, absolutely.
To have this good game of tennis.
And watching her stand up and scream like that, they even say, I haven't seen you so happy since that moment. And it's like, obviously they're seeing that. And I think you nailed it, because like, it's not a hug. It's not just like, oops, caught you, you're falling. Because if Pat really hated him, he'd have let him eat shit.
But I think Pat has always loved Art.
But that's what I'm saying, is if he really hated him, he would have let him eat shit. And he didn't. He caught him. And not only did he catch him, he then pulls him up into a hug. And Art hugs him back. And it is not just a hug. It is like a full on, where have you been gripping. Like, yeah. They were fusing into each other. It was such an emotional moment. And then you see Tashi over in the corner going, let's go! And it's like, this is all she wanted. And she ruined their lives to get it,
yes.
to orchestrate this match. And that embrace, regardless of who wins, they realize that they've been played the whole time.
Literally, she spent 11 years of her life orchestrating a great tennis match.
Yeah, that's it. 11 years to watch one great match
of tennis.
It wasn't even
a great match. It was one set.
It was one, yeah. not even a set. It was one volley.
One volley.
Whatever you call it. I don't know in tennis. I don't know jack shit about tennis.
That's all she wanted.
But that's all it was. And I think it was so well done that I can't imagine why anyone would be really upset. I get that the movie just ends.
Yeah.
But that's the fucking point. It's like Sopranos. It ends. It just ends because that's the point. That's the way the narrative story ends.
You somewhat get a little bit of closure because Pat and Art embrace and Tashi is celebrating and smiling, even though her husband is embracing
her lover.
Her lover.
It is just, I think it's the perfect ending to this movie. It honestly, I'm not going to lie to you, the ending absolutely bumped my grade up quite a bit. Mm. Quite a bit. I was struggling. I did like the back and forth. I loved the acting. But I was like, I don't get the whole hype of this movie yet. I haven't seen it. And then the ending comes, and then it just connects so much of the movie together. It's the connective tissue that connects everything that happens to this one singular moment in time. And it is done so well that it just absolutely saves the movie for me. I think the ending is gorgeous. I think it's the best 30 minutes in a single movie we've gotten in this year, at least.
Yeah. Well, we had like 4 minutes left, and you're like, there's only 4 minutes left.
Yeah, because I'm a freak.
Wraps it up like...
I'm a freak who, like, I'll check my watch or my phone real quickly to see the time, and I know exactly when the movie starts, so I can gauge, like, you know, because I usually go see more than one movie at a time. So it's like, I want to know how much time I have to get to the next movie. And oh, the cast is like, there's 4 minutes left. And they're just getting to the tiebreaker. The fuck is going to happen? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the build up there is great. You have anything else you want to talk about? Let's move on to our favorite scene, the MVP, and our rating.
So how's your movie?
Good shit. With a giant swing of mediocrity.
Well, the girl seems nice.
She is. And she has no idea it'll end like all the others.
The floor is all yours. I want you to give me your favorite scene and who your MVP is.
My favorite scene has to be the very last 4 minutes of the tennis match. So my favorite scene is, I literally said as he was doing it. So Pat was looking at Art, looking at Tashi, and I was like, he's about to put his ball in the center of his racket to tell Art that they slept together last night. And then he did it. And it was just like, from that point on, the movie was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite scene.
It changed the entire tone of the movie. As soon as that happened, it's like, mm-hmm. It's just a whole different thing going on.
Because you almost thought, so it seemed like Art was just going to give up. Like, he literally told Pat, they told Art he needed to get back in position, and he's like, just serve it.
Yeah. Because he was so distraught over the whole, like, I fucked your wife thing, that he literally turns his back to him.
And you think he's
just, like, I'm not even playing anymore, I'm done.
Right. So you think, because then he was like, oh, I'm just going to lose, she'll leave me. Right? Mm-hmm. But then I think he realized, he's like, I'm not going to let her manipulate me in that way. I'm going to win this match.
Yeah.
And
completely agree.
Then they get into that insane volley, and it's just, you can just tell they're eating it up. Like, they are so excited.
Mm-hmm.
This is life. This is breathing life back into them. And it's just, it's such a fun scene.
I think my favorite scene is actually the sauna scene. I've talked about it a bunch, so I'm not going to talk about it again. But I think that's my favorite scene in the whole
movie. A lot of people's favorite scene is that scene.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit. Yeah, I think it's just one of the... It sums up who... I think there are a few scenes that sum up who everybody is. And Tashi, for me, is the final scene. The very final scene where she screams. I think that sums up who she is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
When Art lays in the bed with his daughter, sums up who he is. And the sauna sums up who Patrick is. I think this movie has great single scenes that you could summarize who the character is. And I think that one just stands out to me.
Because I think that's when you see that... Yes, Pat loves playing tennis, but for him, tennis is not his life.
Yeah, he's not...
He cares more about Art.
Yeah, he wants Art back in his life. That's all it is.
But no, a lot of people are saying that scene, even though nothing happened, had the most sexual tension.
Yeah, his dick's out. His dick is literally out.
Even when he covers it up.
So who's your MVP for this movie?
I don't know. That's a hard one. I don't think anyone really outshines the other one.
My MVP is the chemistry between the three of them.
Yeah.
I think the MVP here is chemistry.
Right, because you, like, one character would not be good without another character.
Absolutely. They feed off each other so well.
Yeah.
They did such a great job with the casting here. Give me a rating out of 5 tennis balls. What are we going with?
4.
I'm on the same page. 4 tennis balls. We didn't talk about any negative things in this movie, really, but I think this is unintentionally hilarious. There are so many moments where I'm like, the acting here is not great. Mm. The dialogue in specific moments kind of killed me. And just reactions to certain things that happen. Tashi hits a ball really hard, and Patrick and Art both sit up at the same time, and Pat grabs Art's thigh and squeezes it, and I'm like, It was such a corny scene. And it took me out. I didn't love the POV of Pat and Art when they're playing tennis. I just more preferred the actual tennis balls POV. I thought that was really intense, really beautifully captured. But I didn't care about like Pat and Art's POV. But yeah, I think there are some things that really detract from this movie, but we just didn't talk about them.
Mm.
So I'm giving it 4 stars. I think it's a very good movie. I think more people should watch it because I don't think this is going to get the box office it deserves. Maybe because people are just thinking, hey, it's tennis, who cares? But this movie is great. I really enjoy it. But there are some downsides to it. So I'm going to give it 4.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Letterbox time.
Yeah, do you want to guess what the Letterbox community
I do. People are eating this movie up. The Letterbox community loves a good Luca Guadagnino movie. They're obsessed with him.
Just sounded like you went...
Mush mouth. Yeah, so I think Letterbox loves him so much that this movie has to have like... Well, what does Dune Part 2 have? 4.5? I think this is slightly lower rated than Dune Part 2. So we go 4.3. Because Dune Part 2 is a 4.5.
4.3?
2. Holy shit, let's go. I was almost there. Let's go.
You were close.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I think Dune Part 2 has more of a higher rating because of the effects. And also Timothée Chalamet is just the fucking man. But I think Challenges is probably going to be viewed by a lot fewer people.
Yeah.
So I think that impacts the rating of it for sure.
It's definitely less of a blockbuster than
Absolutely. Dune Part 2. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you ready for my favorite part?
Let's do it.
So reviews for this, almost all of them were 4 stars and above. So I usually try and find a mixture of all of the different ratings. But I looked and looked and looked and I couldn't find any. I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm not going to try to find a bad one if there's no bad ones.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with a 4.5 star. From Sydney, and they said, "Hey, we saw you from across the tennis court and really dig your vibe. Do you want to engage in a biblical level thruple over multiple decades?" Literally.
Yeah. Would they give this?
4.5.
4.5. Yeah.
Then we have a 5-star review from Clara, and this is literally my favorite scene. It says, "Patrick touching the ball to the center of his racket, ... The whole world collapsed."
Honestly. No, as soon as he did it, I was like, oh. Everyone in the theater had to have groaned. It was wild.
I love when I can call something out before Kyle realizes that's what's going to happen, when yeah. I notice it first. And I looked over to Kyle and I said, he's going to touch his ball to the center of his racket.
I was trying to figure out how he was going to do it because I knew he had to, because he kept going back and forth between Tashi and... Tashi. I was like, he's going to say it.
And that's a callback from the beginning of the movie.
Yep. And it was beautifully done. And not only does the world collapse, that's my Roman Empire. I've been thinking about that scene all day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, he really did that. He really just was like, because fuck it.
Art's like bent over, like swinging back and forth, you know, like the normal like tennis pose, getting ready for Pat to serve. And he just stands up straight.
Yeah.
And Pat serves it to him. And he just lets it go past. And right. Everyone's like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Because he literally just is standing... frozen.
Yeah.
It's such a good scene.
I love that scene. Go in just to watch the ending. Like, just go watch the movie so you can see the final 10 minutes, literally. The final 20 minutes.
And then Lucy gave this 4.5 stars, and she said, "Luca Guadagnino has his finger on the pulse of what the masses currently crave in a film. Zendaya and homoeroticism, in that order." Also, instantly my favorite score in a decade. Reznor and Ross have done it again.
I actually completely agree. We didn't talk about the score here, but I think every single time the score starts, it ramps up to this massive fucking crescendo,
mm-hmm.
and then it just stops. And it's because there's a back and forth happening in the scene, and it is just electric. It is an electric score. 100% agree.
That was a lot of reviews, is that people ate the score up for this. And then Sophie gave this 4.5 stars, and she said, "Watched this in a near empty theater where there was only me and a couple there. Was it my sign to insert myself into the relationship to begin a decade-long sports-focused thruple with them? We would need to pick another sport. I can't play tennis."
That's awesome. What a great review. I bet they're thinking the same thing. I bet they're like, that girl behind us is definitely going to try to jump in here. Should we let her?
Should we invite her home? And then lastly, we have a 5-star review from Susperlium that says, "She just wanted to watch some good tennis, and I just wanted to watch some good cinema. We both got what we wanted. Thank you, Luca, once again."
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's perfect. Yeah, that's a great review. Pretty much sums it up. Is that the last one you had? Awesome. That's it. We did the damn thing. So we appreciate everyone who stuck with us all the way up to this point. Please go watch this movie. It is one of the best movies we've seen all year, outside of like Dune Part 2, maybe Love Lies Bleeding, and Monkey Man. I really, 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 really enjoyed this.
Yes.
I think everyone should go watch it.
And hopefully, Kyle promises that we will not lose this episode.
Oh my god, yeah. I'm going to go straight to editing. I'm going to stay up as late as it takes because this has to get done. I cannot lose this episode. I'll go crazy.
We quit.
Yeah, well, this would be it. It would be two straight weeks. We're just done. So I appreciate you guys listening. I would appreciate it even more if you share our podcast when we post it. If you tell your friends about it, tell your aunts, your uncles, your dogs, your nieces, your nephews, anybody you can, anyone with a pulse, anyone with a hearing aid, anyone with ears, just let them know. And also rate us wherever you listen. That's always fantastic. All of my links are in the description below. I'm going to be annoying and tell you to click on that and go follow me there because I post more movie-related content. So with that, go watch this specific fucking movie.
Specifically the last 4 minutes.